The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Mary Davey. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner in the Federal Acquisition Services Integrated Technology Service, ITS. I get that all right, Mary?
You got it right. Thank you.
Oh, good. It took a lot of practice, let me tell you. So,
it's a long time.
Right. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. There's always a lot going on in IT acquisition, and now it seems like there's the pace of initiatives and changes just is continuing to accelerate in 2016. And so, but first, I want to start with the big picture, sort of that I know OMB is driving category management as a sort of essentially, so I guess call it a reorganization to a soft reorganization or a hard one in some instances for acquisition. And I know GSA and FAS is also doing its own sort of internal category management approach to supporting its customer agencies. So I'm just going to open it up and say, Mary, what's going on in category management in your area? Or more generally, FAS too. So
okay. So yeah, what isn't going on? That's kind of the way I'll actually answer that question.
We could take four segments on this alone, right?
Really good. So it's interesting. In the 5 years that I've been in ITS, I think this past year and probably coming into this current year, things have never been busier and probably, you know, really under acceleration for a variety of reasons, some of which is all of our large contracts, the government-wide contracts we put in place, every single program area from identity management to telecom to IT, everything's under recompete. So while we're doing all that, we're also really looking at how do we put in place the right kinds of solutions or even just fill some of the gaps maybe with current solutions to really tackle things in context of category management? And what I mean by that is we've looked at our IT portfolio as some subcategory areas based on spend and spend profiles that OMB and GSA work to develop. And it's things like IT services, IT products, so hardware and software, telecommunications, and cybersecurity. So we have offerings, you know, like Schedule 70 kind of goes across all of those offering areas.
Right,
in some
yep.
cases, the GWACs are really more toward IT services, and you could buy, you know, potentially some like telecom under IT service or the GWACs. So as all of these things are looking, you know, sort of toward the next generation, we have to be thinking ahead about what solutions do we need to serve these categories? But really, it's based on what agencies are buying and what they need to buy and what's it all going to look like, you know, 5 and 10 years down the road from now.
Right, right.
So that then also causes an internal sort of look at the organization and how are we set up to deliver to improve what it is we can help agencies with, you know, based on what they need to buy. So it's more than just looking at contracts. It really is looking about what kind of technical expertise do we need? What kind of acquisition expertise should we be providing? How do we set those solutions up? How do we also understand what the rest of government has to offer in that area, you know, for the other government-wide programs and contracts? And again, make sure that we're positioned the right way in the federal space to help those agencies make better buying decisions.
Right. It's interesting when I heard you describe that. It really is a big challenge when you're trying to and and, you know, you've got all these contracts coming up, and like, but you have to think about it from, you know, 10 years out, let's say, and it's a line end in 2017 or
2019.
19. Yeah. Okay. I knew it was 7 or 9. But then you're talking about another 10-year contract to 2029. And what will people be buying? So those contracts have to be truly living documents that have scope, and just thinking about that approach. I mean,
yep.
It seems like, you know, that's, you know, and how you, and then how they interrelate across your portfolio is
exactly
a big challenge.
Yeah. And so the team across ITS for the last couple of years have really worked well together to have those conversations. And I know we've had, you know, a lot of questions about, well, you can buy cloud on schedule, you can buy cloud on networks or EIS, you can buy cloud on Alliant, you know, how do you differentiate? So those are the kinds of discussions that the team has really had to look at what I call sort of the nature of the buy, you know, and then how should we set up each of those contracts to allow for purposeful overlap, but also not like just everything is every contract to everybody. So, you know, the niche area of EIS really is based on infrastructure and telecommunications. GWACs are really, you know, scoped for IT services. So, and when you're looking like EIS will be a 15-year contract, a lot of that extra, you know, the 5 extra years that we added on to the contract, you know, because they've been 10-year contracts,
right,
really
yeah.
was to also allow for that transition that we've struggled with. So we've tried to address some current challenges with some of these contract, new contract actions as well. But, you know, the scope of Alliant and Alliant 2 will still be based on federal enterprise architecture. So it's broad enough that it allows for whatever new technology
right,
comes along to
time.
Be provided. Yeah. We're also really looking at on-ramp capabilities to allow new companies to come in over the life of these contracts, and as well as making sure that we can do technical and technology refresh on all of them as we go forward.
Yeah, the on-ramp piece is something I'm hearing from your customers and also from industry as well. So there's more interest in actually, because the on-ramps have been there,
yeah.
frankly,
and
on all these IDIQs, whether it's GSA or not, and they don't use them. I mean, it would be interesting to see, you know, in the next generation, whether that starts to really be, because, you know, the emphasis on new technologies and competition
right.
and that sort
and
of thing.
And even on OASIS, you know, in the professional services area. And because technically, you know, an on-ramp isn't just, we'll get some proposals and add some companies. It really is a whole new competition.
Right.
So, you
mm-hmm.
know, that's an involved process that you have to go through, but we want to make sure that at least the option is there because, you know, especially with telecom, you know, you look at companies like Google that are providing, you know, infrastructure now in some cities. And so would they potentially be some sort of viable player in the future? They don't deal directly with the government now. They haven't been, you know, the typical carrier or provider, but I don't know what that's going to look like in 10 years. So you have to allow for the flexibility.
Right. And, you know, GSA is and ITS is, you know, your portfolio, you are a driver of, you know, a lot of IT acquisition, obviously, across government-wide. And OMB just made a great selection of Kim Luke as the category manager for IT. So I'm just curious, how does that, the relationship going to work, you know, working with him and OMB? Tell us about that.
So I'm actually really looking forward to that. I met Kim, and he, you know, from the day he walked in, he has been involved in all things OMB IT, including, you know, coming to like our mobile working group meeting. He's met with the software category manager, really just trying to get, you know, sort of the lay of the land of what's going on and set, you know, sort of his priorities for, you know, the next, you know, couple of years at least. So he's in a strategic role. He's looking at government IT from a strategic perspective and kind of looking across from whether it's commodities or services, what's government doing, how are we procuring, you know, what vehicles are out there, how are buying decisions made, you know, again, looking at spend and that kind of thing. And then he'll be looking to GSA and other agencies, you know, as sort of the tactical implementers now. And so following on to things like the laptop desktop memo that was published by OMB, you know, what's the right strategy for some of these things? In that case, they decided to come up with standard configurations and then choose 3 government-wide contracts that would be providers of those standard configurations, but also allow for other agencies, you know, who have some of those government-wide contracts to also implement the government-wide standard okay. configuration and then offer. So for in each one of these areas, he'll be looking at what's a more effective way of making some of these, you know, buying decisions? What kind of contracts do we need in place? You know, software and FITARA, we've been working on that with DOD and trying to, you know, maybe renegotiate terms on schedule. He may look at that and say, you know, are there too many software contracts across government? Or what could we do to improve terms and conditions by talking with agencies and collecting more data? So we're working with him.
That includes talking to industry too, right?
Roger, you know me. I talk to industry all the time. I love industry. And we as much interaction as possible. But yes, and I know he's already starting to talk to industry as
yeah.
well. So strategic, you know, to sort of tactical implementation and making this stuff happen.
Well, yeah, and I can tell you from industry perspective, his selection was has been, you know, positively
great.
Received. He has a great, he's highly regarded in the industry. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we look forward to engaging with him as well. You know what? We're already up on the first break. That's amazing. There's so much to cover and so many different things. But when we come back, Mary, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the FATAR-related initiatives that GSA is working on collectively across government with DOD. You know, we mentioned software in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We dive into that a little bit more. And you can tell us about this, making it easier. I guess, is that the ME initiative? How do you say it?
Making it easier.
Making it easier. We all believe in making it easier.
We all do.
Absolutely. So my guest today is Mary Davey. She is Assistant Commissioner for FAS's Integrated Technology Service, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mary Davey, Assistant Commissioner for FAS's Integrated Technology Service. And Mary, when we took the break, I, you know, sort of teased FATAR-related initiatives. But first, let's talk about making it easier. What is that? We all love to make it easier, right?
As you know, Roger, there are lots of initiatives going on around the Schedule 70 program to address a lot of the things that, you know, we know that we need to address to really make it, as large as that program is, almost $15 billion goes through Schedule 70 alone. And as you know, about $34 billion on the overall schedules program in GSA. But the program was put in place a long time ago. And so we've been trying to do things to make it better for the government to use that buying those contracts, get better visibility on, you know, pricing across contracts, across labor categories, across products, as well as consistency in terms and conditions. And then on the vendor side, trying to reduce, you know, just the time it takes to get on schedule, as well as the kind of companies that can apply and be part of the schedules program. So for Schedule 70 specifically, we have two initiatives and making it easier. Well, there's more than two, but I'll talk about sort of the big two right now.
Just one. And yes. I think it's what you're doing. You know, we applaud those efforts. I think, you know, all the schedule contractors do. And it's really what we're talking about, making it easier to compete.
Yeah.
To meet customer needs from an industry perspective.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Right?
And can we record that you just said you applaud those efforts? Okay, thanks.
It is recorded. I think.
Good. Look, I'm going to play it every day.
Is it perpetuity? Yeah, that's the right term. I don't know. So it'll be up on the Federal News website too at some point. Okay.
So making it easier. There's two things. One is what we call the fast lane, right? So we all know that it takes time to get on schedule. It takes time sometimes to get modifications processed on schedule. So a couple of years ago, actually, we have a group of people in Schedule 70 that are dedicated to hardware buying, and they work hand in glove with our National IT Commodity Program down in Atlanta. And they started looking at the kinds of offers and modifications that they were getting and, you know, could they in fact sort of speed that up but also ensure that we're still getting quality products, you know, on the schedule at fair and reasonable prices, complying with all the things we have to comply with when we do awards. And so what they did is they are actually, I guess since that started, we've got over 5,000 mods processed in a 24-hour time frame.
Wow.
It's not just GSA though, right? So the industry also has to be prepared to be responsive fairly quickly with requests. And so we also have some large clients like the Department of State that, you know, did a HITS BPA for $2 billion against Schedule 70. And so they are also sort of in that, whereas if they need, you know, additional products or things awarded in their program, we'll work with them to get those done in those companies as well. So we're looking at, you know, how do we expand that and sort of roll it out more broadly across Schedule 70? And we're looking at things specifically like, you know, under the Health IT SIN, for instance, when that gets up and running with, you know, to support DHA. We've got the cloud SIN, you know, up there. So what does that make sense to really help to specialize? And again, kind of going back to category management, you know, really understanding, again, what it is we're buying, what we're negotiating, and having people that get that.
Right. I have to ask you about DHA. That was a great, that is a great opportunity for GSA. And again, that's an area where, you know, reducing contract duplication is a big deal for industry and for government as well. And it was great to see that GSA and DHA did that industry day together to talk about, you know, the way forward. So.
Oh, yeah. We are thrilled. And, you know, as I said at the industry day, and I've been saying, this isn't just about them using our contracts. This really was us working together with them probably for 6 months or more, understanding what it is they were trying to achieve. So we could say, yes, we have some contracts. Yeah, we can give you some reduced fees, you know, on the GWACs, but that's not what this was really about. It was, how do we help them understand kind of what their buying options are, you know, GSA or otherwise, giving them people and on-site resources to help with some of those acquisition strategy decisions. And then one of their key things really was having sort of a platform and a tool in which they could do market research all the way through, you know, making some buying decisions and tracking those orders and seeing where their spend is going to what companies on what kinds of things. So we're going to, you know, give them a health IT SIN, or we got the health IT SIN. We're going to do a health IT hallway on the acquisition gateway. And then we're also going to, we've already started working with them on, you know, what we used to call the Common Acquisition Platform, which is now the FAS Systems Transformation Project. And they're going to be sort of the requirements driver for that program and saying, here's what we need to make, you know, like a end-to-end
solution for them, yeah. Buying experience,
right, exactly.
For them. Right, yeah.
So that, we're just so excited about that relationship.
Well, and I know we all look forward to see how that works out and look forward. And I know industry looks forward to working with DHA and GSA.
And we've had a lot of interest from companies. And we've got thousands of companies already on schedule that will qualify for that health IT SIN. So, and many more who would like to, you know, be part of it.
So let's turn to Fetera.
Okay, all right.
Or do you have more on making it easy?
One more on the making it easier.
Okay, good.
We've
never get enough of that.
I know, Roger, and neither can we. We've had, you know, the you got to be in business for 2 year rules to get a scheduled contract. And if you look at technology specifically, there's so many new companies, new technology. Government's really trying to test a lot of that in different ways. And I think one of the examples that one of our folks gave at a recent, maybe it was at Industry Day, you know, last week, was, well, what if like the CEO of Apple and Google and Amazon, you know, not Amazon, but, you know, non-government providers all got together and wanted to provide to the government. Under this rule, they couldn't.
Right.
So what we're doing is that language will stay there, but there's also going to be in lieu of language. So if you haven't had, you know, if you haven't had a business established and doing business with the government for 2 years, but you have experience, we're going to be accepting resumes, you know, from the folks in the company. Evaluating the resumes, and then also looking at other kinds of supporting financial documentation to show that they have the resources or the ability to get the resources to perform the work.
Right. That sounds like a really balanced, you know, sort of thoughtful approach to that issue of trying to access new technology, new innovation, new companies, but at the same time, you know, you have a fiduciary responsibility, right, as, you know, as a contracting agency, make sure
right,
you know, the people can actually do the work.
Exactly.
So that's a good balance.
Yep. So we're really excited by that.
Yeah. Okay. So now we've spent a lot of time on making it easy. That's good for, that's fine by me.
All right.
But let's talk a little bit about Fetera.
Yeah.
And what's going on at GSA.
So my role there is that some of the language in Fetera talks specifically about software enterprise licensing and GSA's responsibility to create software enterprise licenses available to all of government. So we are working with Department of Defense and OMB. We've created an enterprise software category team. We've looked at spend and software, kind of, you know, where the big dollars are going to what publishers for what kinds of products. And we've done a couple of things so far with a lot more to do. We changed some terms and conditions and things, for instance, on the ESRI schedule. And they actually approached us and wanted to do this under the Fetera sort of framework. And a couple of big things there. In their original schedule contract, there was actually language prohibiting agencies from sharing pricing that they were, you know, to negotiate off the schedule once they placed an order. So that's now gone, and we can share pricing. They've also offered tiered volume discounts, which is, you know, kind of new at the schedule level. We did a lot of that on the FSSI BPAs.
Sure.
But now as all federal agencies start to spend through that schedule, everybody will get to realize, you know, not only their own discounts that they're negotiating, but then there's going to be a tiered volume aggregate level discount as well. So, and then improving terms and conditions in general, making it, you know, just agencies from what we sort of have learned, you know, really struggle to understand the complexity of software licensing terms because you have end user licenses, you have enterprise licenses, you have how can you use this product or not, you know, what does software assurance look like? So we're really working hard to make more of that sort of transparent and done up front so agencies don't have to sort of figure that out every time they, you know, want to place an order. So ESRI was the first. We've already had 22 agencies place orders under that new agreement. We have a whole bunch more in the pipeline, and we're really looking at, you know, millions of dollars in savings just even at the, I think the initial discount rate was even 5%, you know, off of what they were offering before.
Yeah, and Mary, you know what? We're already up on the next break. It's amazing. but we'll talk a little more about Fatera, and then we'll turn to some of the other areas of responsibility, like wireless, mobility. You know, talk a little maybe cybersecurity, perhaps, and you know, always
all things already, cyber all the time. That's
right.
My new mantra.
Okay, yeah, that and making it easier, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. My guest today is Mary Davey. She is the Assistant Commissioner for FAS's Integrated Technology Service, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mary Davey. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service within the General Services Administration. How's that one? How was that
Let's
introduction?
Let's make it longer.
right. Well, I entertain myself sometimes. So, Mary, when we took the break, we were talking about FATARA-related initiatives within, ITS. I know there's a couple more, I think, or at least one more you wanted to talk a little bit about. So go ahead.
Okay. So Salesforce Services, actually. So it's not pure software, but it's obviously software related. There had been a working group of, I think, 10 or 12 agencies that are using the Force.com platform as a development platform. And that group was really sharing, you know, kind of key information about what they were developing, and they even created a repository for the apps that were being developed on that platform so that they could share them across government. So they approached us and asked us if we might negotiate a BPA for them to access Salesforce platform app developers from the private sector, since they were all buying it independently and separately. They didn't think that, you know, that was a smart thing to do. So we did. We awarded a BPA to multiple companies who have capabilities as app developers on the Force.com platform. And again, one of the big things, the language in that BPA allows for government to own the code and share the code and apps across government and using this repository that they've created. So that's another thing that we're just really excited about, you know, kind of gets at the redundancy and the duplication, but then allows that group, you know, to sort of use the same set of companies and share that code and those applications. So we're really looking for lots of opportunities, kind of like Esri, maybe in, you know, sort of the spirit of what we did on Salesforce. So under Fatara, and as DoD right now is looking at a lot of the publishers that are either, you know, kind of have been DoD ESI publishers and or smart buy publishers. But again, looking at all the spend in government and trying to figure out how do we, you know, negotiate better terms and conditions? How do we get pricing? And then provide a lot of the best practices on the hallway. So that hallway, the software category hallway right now is really heavily populated with, you know, how to negotiate ELAs and EULAs and just, you know, when we do new terms and conditions, we can post those there as well. And DoD has sort of a robust training function, right. And so that's all in there too.
Right. Well, they have the Enterprise Software Initiative,
yeah,
right,
ESI,
which is
yep.
saying, you know, GSA sort of smart buy and historically, and they've worked together.
And we're still doing that, but right. we're changing it now.
And that's sort of the new. Is that the sort of where you're moving to with
yep.
the Center of Excellence?
With the big category, the Center of Excellence, exactly. So
okay.
moving out of sort of just saying what BPAs can we award and more about what do we need to know about how to buy software.
All right. And is that, when you look at that, it's just it's fascinating, but you're it's the balance between, you know, I guess leveraging across the enterprise, but at the same time, different agencies may have their unique requirements they need for this. It's like some might want to buy it as an end user, some may want an agency-wide license. Is that being, I mean, are you looking at it from that perspective as well?
Yeah, so we're trying to look at, you know, how the agencies buy today and what we are finding. So a big key of that is it's sort of all over the place.
Yeah.
And what we also found is a lot of agencies may buy licenses when they already have them and could just reissue them because maybe somebody's not using them, or they might be buying all this Adobe Pro Acrobat or something when they maybe just need Reader, as an example. So
right.
we're going back to
underlying requirements.
Yeah,
right?
So we're actually backing up, and GSA is going to put in place what we call a software license management service, which will be a toolkit that basically does asset management and allows, you know, it'll crawl on a network and sort of get an inventory of what's out there. and then look at usage. Look at, you know, are you buying 150,000 licenses of something when you have 100,000 employees, you know, that kind of thing, which happens.
Right.
Yep. So it becomes, it's on the requirements and the demand management side, but it also really helps address cyber, because now you're looking at our patches and vulnerabilities that haven't been done, you know, need to be done on what you have out there. So it'll reduce cost and it'll improve cyber posture. And we'll also have value-added services that GSA can provide to help agencies, you know, make, you know, understand what their inventory is, mm-hmm. and then, you know, how to maybe change it to reduce those costs.
Okay. And that's, and now we, I mean, I want to switch now. Yeah. I mean, we covered, that's a really good, I mean, because there's only so much time on this show. I mean, I guess we could
talk all day.
And we could do a couple shows, I guess. I don't know. But let's just flip over to wireless.
Yeah.
And there aren't flip phones anymore, right?
So I don't know, Roger. You know, I've seen some people with flip phones, and some people I know have Newtons. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. but, you know, what? And I know there's you're looking at doing, I think, a BPA or some additional follow-on.
We don't know yet.
You don't know. Okay.
So here, so the wireless BPAs were awarded in 2013, and they grew more than 500%. Between 14 and 15 in terms of usage. It really has taken off. A lot of agencies looked at it and then had to take some time internally to decide, you know, how do we want to do this? And again, that's another thing that gets purchased, has been in the past anyway, very decentralized across agencies. You know, maybe I just go use my purchase card and get my phone and my device, or maybe one bureau's done an enterprise buy and another part of that same agency hasn't. So it was all over the place. So they have a lot of housekeeping to do internally before they can say, what are we going to do as an enterprise? But we did see tremendous growth. We also calculate savings, you know, in that program. And we look at what agencies were actually paying for devices and plans instead of just what's published on their contract. And we've seen an average of about 22% savings across the board of agencies using that program as well. But knowing that contracts end, and again, you know, technology's changing, my team with OMB launched the Mobility Working Group, Mobility 2.0 Working Group, a couple of weeks ago. And that group's going to look at, you know, so what do we do next? Is it another contract action? Is it something like the MDM platform that we developed that provides access to information and contracts and companies that have those products and services, and maybe we don't need to do a new contract?
And the agencies figure out what they want to do using the information and
exactly.
service, and maybe buy off your contracts.
Maybe so. Yeah. But so this working group has just been launched. We have, again, a lot of agency participation. We'll be working very closely with industry and trying to figure out, you know, is it a BPA? Is it just use what's already out there on schedule or whatever? Is it a new IDIQ? What does that look like based on, you know, what it is they want to achieve?
Right. That's interesting to see how that plays out, and I, you know, you mentioned, you know, part of that answer is really talking to industry about mm-hmm. you know, what their experience is, you know, selling to the government as well, right, and supporting government. As part of what you do in that effort is, do you go in and help the customer figure out, you know, as someone who worked, you know, in government for 20 years, like. Yeah, I got this phone, and I got another phone. I put the other phone in my drawer.
Right, exactly.
Right? It's like, you go in, does GSA go in and help people figure out how many phones do we really have, and what are we paying for? Before, that's, again, getting back to the requirements first.
It is. We have that resource, and we also have what we call an economic model, which helps them take whatever information they have about their current plans and devices and run it through this model to say, could you do better? You know, do you need diversity in your plans because you have people up in Alaska, and but you got people here in D.C.? Do you need different providers? Do you need different coverage? It also allows for shared pooling of minutes across an agency, which, you know, typically you don't get that just when you go buy your phone.
Right.
So there's some really unique features there. But, yeah, we will go in and, you know, ask a set of questions to understand kind of what their challenges are. And we all know that there are lots of phones probably in drawers. So do they even know how many they bought? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, wow, we got a minute left in this segment already. Wow. But why don't we start on cyber and what GSA is doing there, what ideas?
As I said, all things cyber all the time.
Right.
Yeah, we're really sort of in the middle of the Cybersecurity National Action Plan, as well as the cyber cybersecurity implementation plan, working with OMB and other agencies, and we can certainly talk a lot about that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a great – you do my job here. You can do the tease. That was great. So my guest today is Mary Davey. She is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service at GSA. And when we come back, we will talk some more about cyber. We'll also start taking a look at the future, what's out there, what, you know, as Mary, at the beginning of the show, you talked about some of the contracts you're going to be recompeting anyway, but also are there other things that you're looking at doing to expand your support of customer agencies. Again, you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Mary Davey. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service within GSA. I just like to say that, Mary.
Go through. I know all you line. Do, Roger.
When we took the break, we just introduced cybersecurity and a discussion of that. I know that you mentioned several things going on, but I wanted to just turn it over here. We can start there and talk a little bit about what GSA is up to.
Okay. Wow.
Or not. Yeah, what isn't GSA up to?
Exactly. There you go. That's
okay.
More like it.
Okay.
There is so much going on in the world of cyber. And I know, OMB's really putting an emphasis on it from a whole bunch of different perspectives to, really shore up the federal cyber posture. And so in my group specifically, we're looking at things like small agency infrastructure, right? Today, the small agencies are all making separate purchases for infrastructure and in some cases may not have, all that they need to make sure that they've got, highly secure networks.
Right.
So we're looking at, are there opportunities for GSA to help with the small agency infrastructure? Whether it's shoring up the cyber aspect of it, perhaps, doing things like a shared trusted internet connection. And so really looking at how do you address some of those vulnerabilities, for the smaller agencies that don't have, all the money that they need to potentially.
Right. And that seems to me that goes to the idea that, you're only as strong as your weakest link in cyber,
yeah.
It seems to me. Right. So,
right.
You know, that's a pathway for access theoretically,
exactly.
Right? If you don't address that.
Yep.
So.
There was some language in one of those two plans about the incident response services that are needed. So how do you create? So DHS has a cadre of folks that can and are available to go in and look at, incidents after they've happened and sort of, then what do you do to respond? And then how do you protect going forward? But we're looking at a potential augmentation capability, which would probably come in the form of a contract action to provide those services and make them available across government as well. CDM adoption, the continuous that we've got that BPA in place. They're looking at ways to accelerate adoption for those kinds of products and services for agencies there. So again, what can we do? And is there maybe even a link to the incident response service capability to that already existing solution?
Right. And I assume, so you guys are working very closely with DHS across the board, right,
yeah.
On that. Is DOD involved as well with you? Or are they, DOD, it's sometimes
oh, yeah.
It...
Well, I know, but no, OMB in this particular, under these two plans, there are multiple agencies involved, and yet DOD is very, very well involved, DHS, NIST, obviously, the security agencies, as well as GSA. And again, they're looking at GSA as what kind of central function could we provide, to help get some of these things in the hands of people faster or provide, that role that, which is our mission.
Right, as a shared services
exactly.
Model. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about one of the things that we mentioned at the end of last segment is just thinking about what else is going on,
mm-hmm.
What's else coming up. We talked earlier about a lot of the recompetes that you're going to be doing for your current portfolio of contracts, but I know you're always looking at other opportunities and the very nature of IT, it's changing all the time, so you have to react. What else are you thinking about down the road here?
Well, another one related actually to cyber that's in the works is, our U.S. Access program, which is the HSPD-12 card, right? The PIV,
mm-hmm.
Federal
yep.
Identity Card. And so that is something else that the government's been looking at is how do you get more of those cards into the, hands of federal employees? And then how do you take them beyond just a physical identity card, right? And it gets into logical access and building access and, system access and things like that. So our program is up and running and stands ready and, have been helping agencies sort of meet some of those requirements. But that is another program that's under recompete or will be. So that'll be going out soon. And then, you know, looking at what the future of that looks like. Derived credentials are a big interest, you know, of some of the agencies, and just moving into the future there.
Right. Okay. What else is going on? I know there's some discussion of a potential cloud IDIQ.
Right.
What are you guys looking at?
So there? After, again, a couple of years of working with agencies on cloud and trying to understand what some of the challenges were, particularly around buying and then managing and with the current contract constructs that we have, you know, contracts today are largely labor category based. When you look at contracts like infrastructure as a service or email as a service, they are product or solution based, right? I'm trying to buy a lot of virtual storage, or I'm trying to buy, you know, so many email licenses for, you know, fill in the blank. So after a lot of extensive dialogue with both industry and agencies to say, you know, what are our challenges? You know, what would the solution then look like? And so DISA specifically, as their role in DoD, as you know, the cloud front door, if you will, asked us to work with them to create a new offering that really looks at it from sort of the functional side of how you buy and manage cloud. So that's what we're doing. We had issued an RFI last year, got a lot of good information there. And again, looking at all of the vehicles that ITS has to offer today and things, you know, agencies are using Schedule 70 for cloud. They're using Alliant. Not so much on the telecom side, but, you know, it's kind of there if they need it within their total infrastructure solution. So it really was trying to address some gaps that the agency said existed in how they needed to buy and manage the cloud program. So it comes at it from a very different perspective. It's not just let's stick a bunch of labor categories on this, you know, contract and have people try to buy it that way, taking into account of, you know, almost the utility-like model of it,
right,
and the
sure.
nature of mm-hmm. having to scale up and down and you know, you're not necessarily buying more of a program manager or less of a program manager in a month. It's something very different. So that's the approach that they're taking. And our goal is to have a draft RFP out for that by the end of this fiscal year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's, as I recall, that's September, right?
It's September.
All right.
Yes.
So, okay. And I have to, you know, Alliant, you know, it's on schedule sometime this spring
for that RFP. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we had tremendous input from industry and government, and that Interact site had like 8,000 registered users. So,
yeah. So, and how, you know, are there other things you're looking at, or did you want to return a little bit? I think we want to talk a little bit, close out the show a little bit more about category management or how what you guys are doing.
Well, yeah, it's more about, again, you know, how do we evolve ourselves to not just stay relevant, but really, you know, serve that mission and provide the greatest value to agencies as they're making, you know, buying decisions or looking at, you know, if I'm going to buy cloud, what does that mean? Who could I turn to that has, you know, a repository of statements of work or solicitations or terms and conditions, or knows what service level agreements should look like, or knows what other agencies might be paying for something similar, and has really good relationships with a whole bunch of companies that provide it. So I think between our reorganization and really looking at bringing on new people with different skill sets to be able to talk technical turkey and then translate that into acquisition type solutions, as well as the hallways where we've got all that repository of information available to agencies. That's kind of where we're really, you know, refocusing our efforts. And we're also really excited that the gateway's now open to the public. I mean, pretty much they've access to everything other than the pricing data.
Right. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you one other contract vehicle. We didn't touch on it a lot, but EIS.
EIS. Proposals are due Monday.
Okay. That's what I thought. So,
Exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. Got to have an award by next fall, and it's got to be ready for agency use in January, and agencies must start to transition.
Right. And that's the,
they know
be,
that too.
Right. And it's 15. That's when it's
15 year
years.
Contract.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Mary, I don't know how you found time to do the show today. There's so many different things going
it's
on.
It's unbelievable.
All right. So, but I really appreciate you coming in today and letting folks know what's going on. A very exciting time at ITS. So I want to thank my guest today, Mary Davies. She is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service within the General Services Administration. And you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.